kingdom is unique and can never be repeated. And yet in other ways, there are similarities and certainly things that we can draw out of the passage for us this evening. Obviously, John the Baptist is dead. He baptized many others, but John the Baptist will not be here this evening to baptize Sue. So there is a different person baptizing. We do not live near the River Jordan, so we're not going to all take a trip down to the River Jordan this evening. So the person baptizing and the place of baptism is different. But there are bigger and more important differences as well. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance for cleansing. That is very, very important in the whole topic and subject of baptism. If there is no repentance, if there is no desire for the cleansing blood of Jesus, there can be no baptism. But Jesus was sinless. He committed no sin and he needed no cleansing. His baptism is unique in that way. Obviously, the person being baptized is different, and Jesus is unique in so many, many ways. This is why, dare we say it, we would say that liberal theology is absolutely bankrupt and is a real danger to our land. Jesus is unique. Jesus is the eternal Son of God. He is uncreated. The Bible tells us he's the second person of the triune Godhead, and he has the attributes, the prerogatives of God, and is to be worshipped, loved, and served as God the Father is. He is a unique person because he is divine. He was conceived and born of the Virgin Mary, unlike anybody else, and he was sinless, like we said, and in many other ways. He rises again and he conquers death. He uniquely sits at the right hand of the throne of God. He uniquely comes again to be the judge of the living and the dead. There is nobody like him in so many, many ways. And so the baptism of Jesus, the heavens opened up and the Spirit of God came down visibly upon him. Well, that will not happen this evening. There was the audible voice of God crying out, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," and we will not hear the audible voice of God this evening. There are many ways in which the baptism of Jesus is unique and never to be repeated. But there are a number of similarities, and that's what I want to focus on this evening. It was a command, firstly and foremost, for Jesus and for Sue and for everybody else. God the Father commanded Jesus Christ, his Son, to be baptized. That's what Jesus says in verse 15. "Permit it," he says to John, "for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Jesus, as a man, knew that the Father was commanding him to be baptized. And everybody else should have come to that, and Sue has come to that, and has realized, because she has trusted in the Savior, that this is one of the first things that God would command her to do. The Father commanded Jesus to obey and be baptized by John for a number of different reasons. I won't confuse us with the details. But to endorse John's ministry is one of them, and to identify himself with John's message. And, well, John and Jesus were not united, which one of them is sent from God, and all kinds of confusion would be in the minds of those who lived at the time. John inaugurated Jesus' public ministry and is saying the King has come. And so for quite a number of different reasons, and maybe the most important one, is that Jesus is identifying with his people. That's a lot of what baptism is about, isn't it? Identifying. Saying that I am in Jesus Christ and Christ is in me. We have a relationship one with another, and that's the most important relationship and identity that I have. We can say quite a number of things about each other. We can say that we are husbands or wives or children or parents, and a few of us can say I am a skateboarder. Not many of us can say that, but we find our identity in those kinds of things. But our primary identity is with Jesus. Above everything else, Sue is a Christian and a follower of Jesus. And Jesus was commanded to be baptized to identify himself with his people. I have come to be their savior. I have come to be their representative. I have come to be their king and their friend. I have come to be their prophet and their priest and many, many other things besides. Jesus is identifying himself with his people. Not like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were at arm's length with those who were really repenting of sin and wanting to follow Jesus. They thought these people were beneath them and they didn't want to identify with them. They wouldn't eat with them. And when Jesus came, they kept arm's length from Jesus. He is somebody who eats with tax collectors and sinners, and we are above and better than them. Well, Jesus is above and he is better. And yet he humbles himself. Condescends to go through the waters of baptism to identify with his people. I have to choose my words wisely here, but it's not the most dignified thing to be baptized. To go down into the water publicly in front of people is not the most dignified thing. We can see Jesus Christ sometimes portrayed to us as sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. And we can see him in majestic robes and crowned with authority and power. And we can say, what dignity and authority. Very different as he condescends, humbles himself to go down into the waters to identify with his people. Jesus was commanded to do that. Maybe it wasn't the most dignified thing that Jesus has ever done. And certainly dying upon the cross was not a dignified thing to do. Yet he was willing to obey the command. The baptism of Jesus and the baptism of Sue and everybody else who trusts in the Savior is a command from God. It's not an option. It's not if you would like or you feel or you want. Jesus wasn't given the option, and he humbly, joyfully, willingly submitted to that command. So do all those who are baptized properly in our day and age. The second thing we see this evening is that Jesus is the center of that baptism. John and everybody else is not even mentioned by name. But even John, who is mentioned by name in that passage, he just goes into the background, doesn't he? The one who is at the center and elevated is Jesus. It's the same for the baptism this evening. We do pray and hope. And for every real baptism, Jesus is to be at the center of it all. We read in Matthew chapter 28 that all authority, Jesus said, in heaven and earth has been given to me. And we believe and we worship him for those things. And he says that we are to go and make disciples of all nations. And this church was originally established in obedience to that commandment. This church believes and has always believed, and we pray will always believe, that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus Christ. And we worship and we love him accordingly. And he has told us to go. And so we continue on with the work of the congregation in obedience to that command to go. And he tells us to go and make disciples of all nations. And so that's what we do. We just keep telling people the good news of the gospel and explaining to them the way of salvation and wooing and drawing and encouraging people to become disciples, not of the Baptist church or of the membership or anything or anyone but Jesus Christ. Sue has become a disciple of Jesus Christ. And he is at the very center of this baptism. Jesus says that all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto him, and that we are to go and make disciples of all nations. So we're going in his name because we believe that all authority in heaven and earth is his. We are making disciples of his. We are encouraging and pushing them to be disciples of Jesus and to follow him. They are baptized in the name of the Father, and the name of the Son is directly mentioned at the baptism. All these disciples are then taught everything that Jesus has commanded, and baptism leads to a lifetime of discipleship and learning and obeying Jesus Christ. He was the center of that baptism, and he is the center of the baptism this evening as well. Jesus promised for those who become his disciples and they submit to baptism in his name and seek to follow and obey his commandments, he has promised that he will be with them. And so is promised this evening as all those who have been baptized that Jesus will be with them, not only tonight, but throughout all the days of their life and eternity itself. Jesus was commanded to be baptized, so are all repentant sinners commanded to be baptized. Jesus was the very center of that baptism, and he's the very center of this evening, this baptism, and everything else that this church stands for. The heavens, thirdly, were opened at the baptism of Jesus, and it reminds us of something of that truth this evening. I don't know if you can feel or sense it or believe or know it, but as the heavens opened at the baptism of Jesus, so now this baptism declares to us that heaven is open to us this evening. We do not need to go through all kinds of mediators. We do not need to overcome all kinds of demonic powers and this, that, and everything else. Heaven is open to us, and by faith through Jesus Christ, we can have fellowship with God this evening. Heaven is open to us through Jesus Christ. We can be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. There is no great mystery. There is no hard work to do. Jesus has done it all. When he died upon the cross, he cried, "It is finished." And as heaven opened at the baptism of Jesus, so heaven is open this evening, my friends, if we have not trusted in the Savior to be reconciled with your Creator. Heaven is open this evening, and the way back to God through Jesus Christ is in one sense very easy and open. He just commands us, encourages and instructs us to turn away from sin and selfishness and unbelief and turn to Jesus Christ in faith. And heaven is declared to us as open if we would do such a thing. Heaven is open, my friends, this evening, if you would seek the blessing of God. We do not need to go through all kinds of religious traditions and rituals and working ourselves up emotionally in some kind of a sweat to strong arm, twist God's arm and persuade him to bless us. God would seek to bless us far more than any created creature could ever desire to be blessed. Heaven is open if we would believe and come to him for blessing. My friends, heaven is open all of eternity through Jesus Christ. Heaven is not going to open in the same way as it did at Jesus' baptism, and we are not going to see the Spirit of God descend in visibly form upon Sue this evening. But baptisms remind us that through the person and the work of Jesus, heaven is wonderfully open to us by faith. Well, not only was Jesus commanded, not only was heaven opened at that baptism, not only is Jesus the very center of this evening and everything else we stand for, but the Holy Spirit is very much a part of this evening as well. The Holy Spirit came down upon Jesus to anoint him for his messianic ministry. The Spirit of God also is upon God's people to empower them and to live for him and to teach them and to guide and direct them. And so the baptism will be in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Sue's baptism will not bring the Spirit of God into her heart and soul and life, but it's the testimony that the Spirit of God has already come into her heart and her life. And as she is baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and as we're reminded this evening that the Spirit came down upon Jesus, we too are reminded that the gift of the Spirit of God is given to all believers, that we should be very, very thankful for. All those who are baptized are the sons and the children of God. Uniquely, God spoke audibly and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And that's unique, and it's not going to happen again. We're not going to hear an audible voice this evening saying, "This is my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased." But although that is unique in some sense, it is similar in others. The grand and the glorious truth is that so many others this evening who have been baptized are really the children of God. We are the sons and the daughters of God Almighty, and we have every right through Jesus Christ to call God our Father. And that is not flippant familiarity. We want to be reverent, we want to fear God in the right sense, but we can call God our Father. And although he will not speak audibly and say, "This is Sue, my beloved daughter," Jesus was the unique, eternally begotten Son of God, and he is uniquely the Son of God. Everybody who has trusted in him, through him, and because of his death and his resurrection, has the right and the privilege to call themselves one of the children of God. And this whole illustration of family is used multiple times throughout the New Testament. We are encouraged and taught and instructed to call God our Father. We see one another as co-heirs to the eternal inheritance. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord, and we are children of the living God. So it is unique, the voice from heaven that said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." But there are some similarities this evening. Sue goes down into the water. She is reminded that she is identified with Christ, and she is not just a disciple. Although she is a servant and a disciple, she is a child of the living God. What a marvelous privilege that is. Although we will not hear the audible voice, "In whom I am well pleased," all God's children are beloved and well pleased to him. We need to hear and understand the thoughts of God towards us. That's why we gather week by week. That's what the Bible is primarily here for, to reveal to us the will, the mind, the heart, and the thoughts of Almighty God. And God spoke audibly about his thoughts and his heart and his feelings towards his Son. It's quoted from the book of Isaiah. It says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." You know what? That's how God feels about Sue. That's how God feels about all of his children in some sense. Because we've trusted in the Saviour, because we have turned away, and the Bible uses the word repented of sin, the Bible says that Jesus has lived for us and died for us and risen for us. And because we have trusted in him and his work, he says that his perfection, his obedience, his sinlessness, his righteousness is imputed and given to our account, and we receive his righteousness by faith, and Almighty God looks down upon us. And in one sense says, "Yes, you are a sinner who needs to repent. But now through faith in my Son, you have received a divine righteousness, His righteousness, my righteousness. And I look down upon you and I don't only say, I forgive you, but I declare you to be righteous and innocent, and you are beloved and well-pleasing. You are righteous. You are reconciled. You are cleansed and washed, as the water symbolizes the cleansing and the washing of the blood of Jesus. As the water is to envelope the person, the righteousness of Christ envelopes that person, and we find ourselves in Jesus Christ. And God looks upon us as righteous and cleansed and washed and adopted and reconciled and transformed and a new creature in Christ with new desires to, well, be a disciple of Jesus and listen to him and follow him and serve him. And God looks down upon us in grace and mercy, the infinitely holy, righteous, almighty God. He looks down upon Sue this evening and upon all believing people. He says, you are my children in whom are beloved and in whom I am well pleased. This is the good news of the gospel. This is the wonderful thing about Christianity. There is that balance of, yes, God is righteous, holy and just, almighty, worthy of our worship. And yes, we are sinners, deserving of eternal wrath and judgment. And yet God in his Son has done something so magnificent that he has made a way to reconcile himself to us, that he can say, you are beloved. And I love you with an everlasting love. And I've demonstrated my love for you in sending my Son to die for you, and I've given you all of my precious promises, and I long for you to be in my immediate presence forever and forever, that you might experience and enjoy my love and reciprocate that in a relationship of love forever and forever. We're not going to hear an audible voice saying, this is my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased. But we should be mindful. We should be mindful that God loves his people and they are well pleasing to him through faith in Jesus Christ. The last point this evening is, as Jesus was baptized, there followed trials and temptations which could only be overcome by the word of God. Jesus, after the baptism, God had spoken audibly, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And chapter 4 goes on that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, notice how subtle that is. God himself has audibly said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And what an encouragement to Jesus as he believed and he trusted that. First thing that the devil does is to question. The first question mark in the Bible itself is, did God really say? And once again we see the devil coming and tempting Jesus. Did God really say that? If you really are the Son of God. The baptism of Jesus and the Spirit of God coming down to anoint him for his work as the King of Israel and the audible voice would have been such a blessing. Baptisms are a blessing. God in his mercy always draws very near to the person being baptized and just witnesses and confirms and encourages them that though in a sense it's undignified and you're humbling yourself, I am with you. Bless you, and I love you, and you are mine, and I will be with you even unto the end of the age, Jesus says. Very often it's followed by a time of trial and testing. Fleshly lusts, as Jesus was tempted to turn the bread, or the stones into bread, and temptations to pride as he was tempted to jump from the top of the temple to prove to everyone visibly that he was the Messiah, and what a beginning to his ministry that would have been, and tempted to materialism and greed in all the world being offered to him by the devil. And so very often, after a baptism, a time of trial and testing can come, a week or two, or a month or two, or even a short amount of time. And Sue has been reminded, these things. And we're reminded of that this evening, that as you're here this evening, providentially, to enjoy and to witness and to be a part of the great blessing of Sue's baptism, you also have a responsibility to pray and support Sue in the coming weeks and months. That's what Christianity is really all about. We have evenings like this, don't we? Great occasions of joy. Remember, reminded of who Jesus is and what he has done and what he says to us and his thoughts towards us and the good news of the gospel. But we're reminded too that we have a responsibility to look to the Lord and to trust in his word and to support Sue as she goes through this very important part of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. At all baptisms, we should see Christ as the anointed one, the obedient servant, and the beloved Son of the Father. As Jesus is central, I pray that these thoughts are recognised and acknowledged amongst us. Can I ask you a few questions as we close this evening? Can you see that heaven has been opened to you, and that you can know God through Jesus Christ? Do you know that heaven is open to empower you to serve the living God? Do you know that heaven is open to bless you? Heaven is open that you might have fellowship with God. You know that heaven has opened to you forever and forever. Oh, these are very serious things to think, aren't they? What about another question? Are you listening this evening? They heard the audible voice of God. And we have heard the word of God this evening, not audibly like at the baptism and not through John the Baptist, but you have heard the word of God this evening. And the book of Hebrews tells us, see that you refuse not him that speaks. For if they escaped not who refused him that spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven. You will not escape. You cannot escape God. God sees. God knows all things. We will all stand before God. And you cannot escape by refusing and hardening your heart and being unwilling to listen to his word. Are you listening in your life and this evening? Have you turned from sin? As the water declares cleansing, have you turned from sin and humbly submitted to baptism as is commanded? What about another question? When you die, and we're all going to die, when you die, will heaven or hell open up to you? That's about as solemn and as serious as it could possibly get. One or the other will open up. You will not be annihilated, you will not be reincarnated, and you will not go to purgatory for a certain amount of time with the hope of ultimately everybody going to heaven. The Bible is as clear as day. All appointed to die and then face judgment, and either heaven or hell will open up. And I pray that that might really touch the heart of anybody, someone, this evening. Here's another question. Are you well pleased with the Son of God? God the Father says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He doesn't just say in a whisper, Jesus, he's all right, isn't he really? It's a thunderous, loud voice. All heard. God speaks with emotion and with passion and with much fervor. This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. What do you think of Jesus this evening? Oh, he's all right, I suppose. Better than most people, I would imagine. Or can you say from the heart fervently, yes, this is my beloved Savior in whom I am well pleased. Baptism reminds us, and all those who have been baptized, that we are to be obedient servants that we're beloved sons and we're empowered missionaries in the world that we live in. We're taught to obey everything that he commands us. And I would ask myself and everyone here this evening, how's your obedience so far? And what's your commitment to obedience from this point onwards? There's a lot of things going on this evening. There's a lot of things that God would say to us in this illustration of baptism. As we look at the baptism of Jesus, some things are unique, but there are many similarities. And I hope that God would just tell you, remind you, speak to you about one or two of those things. You would go away thanking the Lord that you were saved, wanting to obey him, praying for Sue. Or you'd want to go away and really think about the gospel. Or you'd want to go away and say, yeah, I have trusted in the good news and it's my turn next. May God speak to our hearts about all these things.